Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin of the Jimmy Akin Podcast, and you're being fortified with your regular dose of Catholic vitamins. But wait, there's more.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith. Forget what lies behind and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace the change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, Dee.
Well, thank you, Tom.
I'm glad you're with me today, because it would be a singular Catholic vitamin if you weren't here. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Are you?
Yeah.
You've been overworking in your office to help get ready for the show. We should probably
my part of the show notes.
You're the show notes, the organizer, the keeper of Vita Scrabble, the looker upper for Vitaminutes.
I'm the gopher.
Well, no. While I do some of the front end work trying to get guests together.
Right. And you do such a good job.
Bless you, dear.
I do give you lots of credit. I give you credit many times when I'm talking to people.
Do you?
Saying we do this together, but I have to give you credit most of the time for the guests that we have.
Well, speaking of guests, this is Catholic Vitamin F2.
Yes.
It is.
And a few people guessed it, too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is a Catholic vitamin F for family, and just like you can have vitamin B1 and vitamin B12, you can have Catholic vitamin F2 for family. And I'm particularly delighted because there's a family that we've enjoyed for years. And, I think just everybody fell in love with them when they first started going public.
They're such a sweet couple. We have been so fortunate over the last couple of years since we've been doing this, that we've gotten to meet some of our online friends in person. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to the day when we can be face-to-face with John and Heather Heck.
Well, they're our guests, and John and Heather, we have an outstanding 40-hour gift certificate for babysitting, which you haven't honored yet.
Well, we made that promise. They only had two kids. Yeah. Now they have four.
Maybe they'd be willing to come to Arizona and say, here, take them. We're going on to California.
Now that you've mentioned it, this is Catholic Vitamin Family.
Vitamin F, yes.
Two.
Okay.
And it's episode 121.
Can you believe it? 121.
Gosh.
Wow. Well, we're enjoying doing Catholic Vitamins. And Jimmy Akin gave us a plug at the beginning of the show.
I was just ready to say, who was that guy you opened with?
That was Jimmy Akin, the famous apologist for the Catholic faith, the great historian and author. And I listened to his podcast, the Jimmy Akin's podcast, and I really like it. And it is chock full of nourishment and history and education. He's a treasure for the church.
I've listened to a few of his also. We had a couple comments about Jimmy and feedback this week. Rich Kruger said, great podcast, referring to the one that you did with Jimmy Akin. He says, I highly recommend Jimmy Akin's book, Mass Revision. In my studies on the Catholic faith, Jimmy's book helped me learn all the ins and outs of the Mass. And Melanie Baker in Hawaii said, have enjoyed listening to him, meaning Jimmy, on Catholic Answers and now SQPN. Wonderful. And Ebeth said, listen to you guys this afternoon while sewing. Thoroughly enjoyed learning more about Jimmy.
Well, listen, doesn't that name Milani sound really Hawaiian?
It does.
I think we have to have a meet and greet over in Hawaii.
I do too. We're overdue for a Hawaii trip, aren't we?
I know, we are. We haven't been to Hawaii in, 10 years or something?
We've been there, five or six times? But
we have.
Been many years since that last trip.
Which island would you like to go to?
Probably Maui, which we always go to. Maybe it might be nice to stay in Kauai.
Kauai.
Yeah, we visited that island, but we've never stayed there, actually stayed there.
Sounds great. This is going to take a few moments. I hope, dear listeners, that I can ask for your attention. If you're driving, maybe you might need to turn up the volume a little bit because this is really, really neat. I'm overdue reading this and speaking of the issue of family. This man and his family are embodied in this email, but then he has become a more vibrant member of the Catholic family. This is an email from Dave Dunn. Deacon Tom, I married a Catholic and am raising my children Catholic. I sat in the church for 20 years proclaiming all along that I would never become Catholic. Until one day when God made the decision for me and it was clear that I was not to obey, that I was not to disobey this command.
God has a way of doing that, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. You know, that's why I'm in the diaconate. I enrolled in RCIA, even though I had to wait 6 months before it began. I had never read a Bible much past the first few pages of Genesis. God's anger in those pages was enough to convince me that I didn't need God in my life. When I received my Bible, I made a commitment to read the Gospels, and then the letters, and then the Old Testament in my new light and state of mind. The letters are what really began to transform me. I could not get enough, and I curled up with this Bible every time I had a chance to read more. It wasn't long before maybe six weeks before I got out of bed in the middle of the night and fell to my knees and prayed to God to come into my life. That night I went back to bed with the most incredible peace I've ever felt. I remember thinking, is this real? Am I really feeling this sensation of being cradled? Dave says, I am on fire for God. I want to do more, but God tells me that what I am doing right now is enough. But sometimes I just want to burst because I can't contain my joy. I actually told my wife, I think I understand the Magnificat. And for our listeners who may not know the Magnificat, the words of Mary that you've heard from time to time read in church, my soul magnifies the Lord. Continuing with Dave's email, it is just so incredible. Me, this angry and bitter man that hated the bother of going to church, can't get enough of reading the Word, listening to the Word. I'm so nervous about letting people know just how on fire I am. I may be scoffed at. This man that was so far from God is now wanting to proclaim his greatness. Particularly, I think my wife may not know just how to handle the transformation from angry man to, in quotes, Jesus freak. But I know now that anything is possible through God. Thanks for letting me put some of my thoughts to words. Cheerfully in Christ, David Dunn. And I asked him in a separate email, excuse the paper rattling, if I could read his email. And he said, thank you for the reply and letting me express my joy in the Lord. I just happened to come across your site, Catholic Vitamins, looking for others that are feeling the way I am and looking for an outlet. Yes, you may use my email. I would be thrilled if my testimony helped to inspire another's journey. Thank you for the prayers. I also pray for you. Perhaps we will speak again. Cheerfully in Christ, Dave Dunn. Dave, I truly believe you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people have to beg for that to come upon them. Sometimes they beg for years, but I think it's happened to you, and I'm so full of joy and happiness for you. And thank you so much for sharing that lengthy email with Catholic Vitamins.
Emails like that are the rewards we get for doing this. Mm-hmm. That was just so beautiful.
It really, really is. Well, we've run a little bit long with that first segment. Did you want to do anything short before we move on?
I just want to wish my mother, not that she listens to this, but my mother is going to be 92 tomorrow, February 6th.
Praise God, and thank you for the long life and the wonderful witness to the Lord that your mom has given. She's a delightful, wonderful Methodist woman who's been very faithful to her church, the Methodist Church. I have in my left hand, and this sort of goes back to David Dunn's email, I have in my left hand a brand new CD just released by Brian Flynn. Brian Flynn was a guest on Catholic Vitamins maybe 6 months ago. It was a wonderful show that we had when we were able to talk with him. And the new album is called Born Again. It is from World Library Publications, WLP. We're going to put a link to Brian's site and to WLP in our show notes for this show. But Brian has given us permission to play any of his songs from this album. And on this show, we'll play a bit of Born Again as our first cut. There's two other beautiful songs that we'll play, and I'll mention them a little later in the show. Here, for a bit, is Brian Flynn and Born Again.
You washed me, Lord. You plunged me in the waters of life. You called me, Lord, out of darkness into your light. You sealed me, Lord, with the oil of salvation. Anointed me, I am reborn. Your water and spirit cleansing me. You regenerated me from the chains of death. I'm free. You washed me whiter than snow. In my new life did begin. I was cleansed of Adam's sin. And I am born again.
There is perhaps no better model for a Christian couple than that of Christian families of apostolic times. The centurion Cornelius, who obeyed the will of God, and in whose home the church was made accessible to the Gentiles. Aquila and Priscilla, who spread Christianity in Corinth and Ephesus, and who cooperated in the apostolate of St. Paul. Tabitha, who out of charity attended to the needs of the Christians in Joppe. And so many other homes and families of Jews and Gentiles, Greeks and Romans, in which the preaching of our Lord's first disciples began to bear fruit, families who lived in union with Christ and who made him known to others. Small Christian communities which were centres for the spreading of the gospel and its message. Families no different from other families of those times, but living with a new spirit which spread to all those who were in contact with them. This is what the first Christians were, and this is what we have to be. Sowers of peace and joy, the peace and joy that Jesus has brought to us. The late great Pope John Paul II had a special place in his heart for the family. He commonly referred to the family as the domestic church, meaning that the family is the first place where children learn about God's love. He also held up the most holy family of Jesus, Mary and Joseph as a model for all families. On the 30th of December 2001, in his Angelus address for the Feast of the Holy Family, John Paul II said, "For every believer, and especially for Christian families, the humble dwelling place in Nazareth is an authentic school of the gospel. Here we admire, put into practice, the divine plan to make the family an intimate community of life and love. Here we learn that every Christian family is called to be a small domestic church that must shine with the gospel values. Recollection and prayer, mutual understanding and respect, personal discipline and community work, a spirit of sacrifice, solidarity, these are typical features that make the family of Nazareth a model for every home."
Thank you, Fergal. We always enjoy your wonderful reflections. And his is a family I would like to meet sometime.
Well, maybe we will.
Yeah, we've been talking about maybe next year going to Ireland. Wouldn't that be awesome?
We were thinking how wonderful it would be to go to Ireland for his diaconate ordination. Yeah. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, there's a deacon couple that actually they have been guests on a very early show Deacon Don and Betty Schaefer, true cornerstones of the Catholic Church in the Archdiocese of Denver. And the Schaefers and the Foxes may be hoping and planning to go to Ireland next year, God willing.
We're hoping to talk them into it.
Yeah. And it would be so great if we were able to be in the cathedral when he is ordained, God willing, when Fergal is ordained. Well, thank you for your reflection on family. And there's a family that is here in Pine, Arizona. We've talked about Jim and Candy Bridges before. They own a retreat center, a Christian retreat center, called Breath of Life. Candy's written a book called Meet Me in the Mountains. And we're going to try to interview Candy in the coming times. But Candy is also a calligrapher, a framer, and an artiste.
Yes, she's done some beautiful work. She's gifted us with some of her beautiful work, and we're going to have her do some work on our walls.
Tell everybody about that.
I wanted to have like a Bible verse written in calligraphy on our wall, and I have picked my favorite Bible verse. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to have her put that on our wall. She's hopefully in the coming week she's going to be able to do it.
She's been a little under the weather with some flu or something. We don't know what it is. Over the weekend, and
yeah, it was supposed to happen this week, but because she's been sick, it may not.
Yeah, so here she is in calligraphy letters. That's probably not the right way to say that, but at any rate, she's going to do this over our patio door leading out of the living room. And we have a beautiful preserve area behind our house, and I usually do morning prayer there, sometimes up in my office where I have a cross collection. But I would just absolutely love to be in the living room looking out at God's wonderful creation and seeing the words, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it."
I can't wait for it.
Yeah. Thank you, Candy, for being in our lives. And dear friends, we thank you for being in our lives. And next up, some time with John and Heather Hack. Well, next up on Catholic Vitamins, John and Heather Hack, the all-American couple from, where is it, South Carolina?
North Carolina.
Yeah. Hi, John and Heather, and we are so glad to welcome you to Catholic Vitamins.
Well, it's great to be on your show, Deacon Tom and Dee.
It is. We've been listening for a long time. It's exciting to be here.
Oh, how nice.
Well, that works two ways. We listen to you, too.
Yeah, a little later on in our time together, when we get to talking about your faith journey or journeys, I'm going to remember to bring up how tender it was to follow you, Heather, in those days when you were brought podcasting before, and so many people around the World Wide Web were listening to you and really learning from and falling in love with, you know, how tender it was to journey with you. But let's start at the beginning and find out if there was a young Johnny and if there was a young Heather.
Well, we can start with the young Johnny.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there was a young Johnny. Actually, they used to call me Johnny Boy for years and years. And I was born in Long Island, New York, and was baptized Catholic. So I was actually raised Catholic in the Catholic faith. And at about 2 months old, we moved down to Orlando and grew up in Orlando. And about 13, I was confirmed, continuing to be Catholic. And then we moved from Orlando to a city about 30 miles east of Orlando, where I was attending a Catholic school. And when we moved, there were no Catholic schools in the area. So my parents had a decision. And the public school in the area was not that great. So I went to a Christian school. And this Christian school was affiliated with an Assembly of God church. And so to make a long story short, at the same time, my mom was watching. You remember Jim and Tammy Faye Baker and TBN? And there was a lot of Christian.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah.
Well, she had that on all the time. I remember seeing that. And a lot of Christian shows on that network. And at the same time, we also went to a Billy Graham crusade where we took the steps down to the the football field and became saved or gave our lives to Christ. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I started this Christian school, started attending what they called chapel. I think it was about three times a week during the school session. And I was telling my parents how they had this great praise and worship music. There was guitars, electric guitars, and drums, and it was just really made you move. And so I asked my parents if they wanted to come to the church. And lo and behold, after a while, at 13 years of age, right after I was confirmed in the Catholic Church, we had left the Catholic Church. And about 25 years, I was away from the Catholic Church. But I'll let Heather pick up to that, at that point.
Yeah, about that point, there was a young Heather, too. And let's see. The earliest church that I went to was a little church called the Alliance Church. I think it was Christian and Missionary Alliance. And very similar to a Baptist church is what I believe. And I remember at a very young age praying a prayer with my mom and giving my heart to Christ. Mm. And just really never remember not believing. I don't ever remember not believing in God or not having a faith in Christ and believing in him. And as I grew up and things happened, I remember I attended Young Life. It was a non-denominational outreach type of kind of a youth organization. And I remember at one point during a Young Life meeting that I just thought, you know, as an adult, I guess as an adult as a 13-year-old could be, what do I really believe, and is this something that's real for me? And at that point, I felt like God was asking me, are you, as an adult, or as a grown-up, as someone making your own decision, are you going to follow me? And I just remember not of specific words, but just a prayer of, yes, I want to follow you. So I guess at that point, you might say I rededicated my life to Christ as a young teenager. And so I just followed along with that, and I guess I was just kind of like a boring goody-two-shoes kind of kid. Didn't get into much trouble, didn't do a whole lot, but we left the Alliance Church when I was in college and went to a non-denominational church, and just before we got married, that church moved a little bit further away, and we started attending a Southern Baptist church. So at that point, I was out of college doing some computer work and was also a leader in Young Life. The organization that I attended as a teenager, I was now a volunteer leader with. And I think that was the point where John and I started, where we met.
At Young Life?
No, not at Young Life.
Well, yeah, I guess I stopped at 13, but if you fast forward like 20 some odd years, I found myself in Savannah, Georgia, eventually. And during that time, I attended various churches, non-denominational churches, to Southern Baptist churches.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had actually met through an online program. So we do a lot of things online, and we even met that way through one of these, programs called eHarmony. And we were nudged, both of us, we didn't know it at the time,
right,
by our mothers to go on this eHarmony and sign up and see, you know, if there's anybody you'd be interested in. I guess our moms were starting to panic because we haven't found the right one at the time.
Roughly how old were you?
20s.
I apologize. Roughly how old were you two at that time?
I was mid-20s, about 26, I think, when we met.
Were you?
Wow. 25?
I don't know. I was in my 30s, so I was 5 years older. So.
Oh, wow.
You had just turned 30,
did
actually.
I?
You
wow.
had. So I was 25.
Gosh,
yeah,
I thought that's how old you were now.
No.
That would be
kind.
Nice.
Well, Dee, they've been taking good Catholic vitamins. They said that.
Well, you look so young.
Well, thank you. Don't look up close.
Of course, we're so old. That's probably why everybody looks so young.
No. So, yeah, eHarmony, we signed up, but I don't think Heather or I really spent much time on it.
Not much.
But it was great because we were able to find somebody in the same city, because eHarmony, they'll find matches all around.
Over.
but there was this girl named Heather in Savannah.
Yeah, and there was some guy named John. I called him Internet John for the first year, I think. And it was weird because we were 20, 30 minutes apart, but had it not been for eHarmony, I don't think we ever would have met.
No, definitely not. So that was neat how the Lord worked and matched us up there. So we met, talked a bit on the phone. I think for New Year's Eve, Heather had invited me over to go over her parent or her brother's house where I'd meet her parents and some siblings.
That was our second date.
Yeah. And a little bit scary. I had to step out of my comfort zone to go and do this. But I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead, go for it. Mm-hmm. And met everybody. Everybody was great. And we started dating.
And didn't look back from there. I don't know how long it was, but it wasn't long before we realized there was something special there.
Yeah, so we found ourselves. I proposed right off the Savannah River, on the banks of the Savannah River there in Savannah, Georgia.
Right in front of the Waving Girl.
Yeah, this famous statue in Savannah. And we got married, and we were married in a Southern Baptist church.
Mm-hmm. How did the families feel about the other party that you were getting ready to marry?
My family loved John. They thought he was the one and thought he was perfect for me.
Yeah, and my family adored Heather, and who wouldn't? She's great. So
I know.
Definitely hit the jackpot there. So yeah, no problems on this end either.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so you were married in Savannah area. We actually, I think we're following you by that time or soon thereafter, because you sent us some things from Savannah one time. It was very nice. And I remember you talking about going to a favorite restaurant on a Sunday. So you were living there and starting your family.
They already had two children by the time we knew of them.
Right. Yeah, let's see. Jacob and Madeline.
Right. Jacob was probably, he was just a little thing. He was probably just a couple months old when we first started looking into the Catholic Church. And Madeline was a newborn, I think, when we started podcasting.
Yeah, and interesting. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry for interrupting. Let me ask the question and see if it dovetails with what you were going to say. Some of us followed this walk towards Catholicism and thinking about it when you were doing your podcast, the early days of Catholic Family Journal. But I think if there's a way that you could share a thumbnail of that for our listeners who may be new to the hex.
Or how did they make that turn towards that direction again?
Sure. Well, for us, it was out of concern, or especially Heather, was out of concern for my parents. Like I said, my parents and I had left the Catholic Church for a long time, but maybe about 5 or 10 years, I'm not sure, before we started looking into it, my parents went back to the Catholic Church. And they had met somebody at the church by the name of Dr. Scott Hahn, who spoke at the church and signed a book. And the book was entitled Rome, Sweet Home. And my mom had read the book and wrote all in the book and bended the pages, which drives me crazy because you can't wrinkle pages. I just don't like that. But that's just my
He's not
issue.
Joking.
But anyway, so I had this book forever. And it's just one of those things you get from your mom. Oh, okay, thank you, I'll read it. Mm-hmm. And it sat in the closet for years. And it was right after we got married. Heather was concerned about my parents, and she didn't know a whole lot about Catholicism. I knew just enough to, you know, if someone brought something up, I'd say, no, that's not exactly true. They don't do that. But not much more than that. And she wanted to know. And I said, well, there was this book that it was given to me. And so we both started to read it.
Right. I actually found it while I was cleaning out an old armoire one time and all these books. I said, hey, I think that's the book that you were talking about. We should start reading it. And we started reading it. Basically, I was actually pretty concerned because I really didn't know anything about the Catholic faith. I had maybe some preconceived ideas. I for some reason, had the idea that Catholics were misled on a lot of different issues. So I was concerned about whether they were really following Christ, whether they were into something that was misleading them or leading them away from Christ. And I really liked his parents, so I wanted to settle it in my mind whether or not it was something where Actually, it was something where I was thinking, oh, I really don't really want to look at this, because if I find that they are being misled, I'm going to have to, like, confront them, not confront, but, like, talk to them about this. And it wasn't something that I was really looking forward to doing if that were the case. But I figured if it is something like that, I really wanted to know. And if it wasn't, then I wanted to be at peace about it and not have to worry about them. So we started reading it, and lo and behold, it was eye-opening.
It started making a lot of sense, and a lot of the misconceptions that we may have heard were being answered as we were reading the book. And so, of course, from that point, it was a launching point into trying to get our hands on as much information as we could on the Catholic Church, because at this point, my parents are fine.
Right.
They're okay. Now, what about us? And where does this leave us? And so, yeah, we started doing the whole Catholic Answers thing. And it's funny that we follow your last podcast with Jimmy Akin, because I would be mowing the lawn just listening to him on Catholic Answers and getting all this kind of information on the Catholic Church and getting the fullness of the gospel, not just parts of the scriptures that we would hear in our Protestant church, but all the scripture. And it would all start coming together like a great big puzzle. And we're starting to see this big picture. And we're getting really excited about it. And about the same time, I made a call to our local Catholic church and called the Monsignor Nelson in Savannah and said, this is my situation. What do I do? You know, where do I go from here? And at the same time, Heather was also wanting to learn more about the Catholic Church, and she started entering into RCIA.
Right. I was looking at it, becoming very convinced that there was something there. Not 100% willing yet to say, yes, this is it. I'm putting my foot forward and here we go. But enough to really want to learn more, because there was something there that I had not expected. There was this fullness of truth that I had not seen before. Passages in the Bible were just like jumping off the pages, where before they just seemed, you know, not to make sense. Now it's like, oh my, that really does make sense. And it wasn't just an easy jumping point for me, because one of my big things was questioning my motives. I didn't want to do this just because it was something John was doing. I didn't want to convince myself because I wanted to do the same thing he did. And I wanted to also make sure that I didn't say no to it just because my family was very much against it. So my motives were, I questioned my own motives. If I started leaning one way or another, it was always, you know, why am I leaning this way? Why am I leaning that way? So I just wanted to get as much information as possible. So looking on the Catholic Answers and listening to podcasts, I would learn more about the Catholic Church that way. And I'd also get things from the other side, from the Protestant side. My mother was very, very concerned. She still believes that the Catholic Church is a cult and that I've kind of joined a cult here. But so she would bring over pages and pages and pages of things from websites and things and books against the Catholic Church. So I had so much information coming from both sides. At one point, I remember I just stopped reading anything from either side. And I said, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to read the entire New Testament on my own without reading anything that comes from a Catholic source or an anti-Catholic source, and just see what God shows me. And at that point, having a newborn and a two-year-old, it took me quite a while to get through the New Testament. But as I read it, I became more and more and more convinced that not only was this the truth, but that God was leading me into joining the church. So
how beautiful it was to be with you during that time. One of the joys of having you on a Catholic Vitamin F for Family show is you gave such evidence of what it means to be a family walking together. And, you know, when we listened to your podcasts back then, there were times when it seemed like you were still struggling with certain areas. There were times when you were struggling with your parents, Heather, your mom, and their feelings. And I think I remember that somebody wasn't willing to babysit it was, you know, I guess we felt pulled into being part of your family as you went on this journey. And while we're certainly glad that Catholicism was the answer in the end, what a great example you gave of being open of heart and sharing the two of you. Gosh, it was just great to be with you.
Yeah, we actually doing the podcast, I think, probably did more for us than at that point in time than it could have ever done for anybody who listened to it, because the support and the outpouring of love from listeners as we went through it was tremendous. And at points in time where you were right, it was very, very difficult. I had to go to RCIA by myself. We had intended to go, myself and John, together. But my parents wouldn't babysit for us to be able to go together. So I had to go by myself. And definitely had some tough things in there, like children's baptisms where the grandparents didn't attend, and the Easter Vigil itself, where you send out invitations and you just didn't hear anything back. Things like that were very, very difficult. And it was nice, really nice, to have support from I remember from you especially, from you, Deacon Tom and Dee, just the feelings of love that we got from that was just tremendous.
Absolutely. And you never cashed in the 40 hours of babysitting certificate.
You know, come on out to North Carolina. We might take you up on that now. There's four of them now, though.
Yeah, that's right. There were only two when we made that offer. I had a question on the tip of my tongue. Now it's gone. Maybe it'll come back to me in a minute.
Thinking about working when what work?
Well, I know that you were going to ask that, but I think I was thinking of something else. Go ahead.
I don't want to jump around. Let's sort of continue for just a second on the Catholicism aspect. How has it been for you, Heather, and how has it been for you two as a couple to be in the Catholic Church?
It has been, I think this process has been one of the things that has brought John and I the closest together in our marriage, has been going through this kind of a learning experience for us both, and something where we drew on each other and depended on each other through a lot of it. And being in the Catholic Church is a blessing. Now, attending Mass is a little bit difficult.
Right.
But yeah, I'm usually in the cry room with two of them, and he's out in the main room with the other. So attending as a family can be a little bit difficult, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, it's been a really great journey for both of us. And it one of the things we were worried about when we were looking into it and not knowing what decision Heather would make after I've committed, I wanted to return to the Catholic Church, was, you know, the prospect that we may be raising our kids and if we had two different religious upbringings or you know, perspectives, how that would be. So that was kind of some turmoil in the beginning.
I remember one evening especially where it was just going back and forth on doubts and things like that, and where you were at this point, you were committed, and I still wasn't 100% sure, and you were just telling me, it's okay if you choose not to. We're not going to split up over it, but if you need to go to a Protestant church and I need to go to the Catholic church, that's okay. Wow. And there were some really rough times and rough decisions to make. And
but what a blessing it is. It's just such a neat thing to have both of us growing as Catholics. And I feel like we're still very young and new at this, and there's so much to learn. And
oh, definitely.
And there's still that excitement there. Not always easy. You know, we still question things in our mind. I look at it always as a sea turtle. You know, I grew up in Florida and grew up also in the east coast of Georgia, right off the seaboard there. And I always think of a turtle, how they're hatched on the sand, and they got to go towards that water. You know, the water represents life to them, and they hear the water. They may not even be able to see, and every so often they'll come up against a sand dune, which makes it a little tough to get there. The waves might knock them on their back a few times, which in the last year with the passing of my dad, I feel like that's happened to me. But the great thing is that water, I still hear it. You know, that water is like the Holy Spirit calling me. And no matter how many times I'm knocked on my back or have an obstacle put in front of me, Heather and I can both look and hear that sound of the Holy Spirit calling us, and we just keep marching forward. And I think that's the important thing, is that we just keep going forward no matter how many times we're kind of knocked back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually have been thinking lately that I'm very grateful that we had this journey into the Catholic faith before the accident that took John's dad, because we had some major doubts and questions following the incident. And had we not gone through such intense questioning of our own faith prior to that and looking at the Catholic Church, I don't know where those doubts would have led me had I not had that opportunity before to start looking at what I truly believed and what I believe wholeheartedly. So that has been a blessing that happened in that order, I think.
Heather, being a convert myself, way, way, way back when, have your family softened any towards your decision?
No, short of it is. No, not really. When we had the recent baptisms of Johnny and Hannah this past year, I was hoping for maybe some sort of softening toward it, but I didn't get responses at all from the invitations. Just one aunt that responded. I wasn't able to attend, but responded in a positive way. But as far as the immediate family, there's not been really any change, unfortunately.
Okay, so you're in a new geographic area. I guess it's been, what, a year and a half or more?
Yeah, about 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, we do follow you.
You do.
What's it like? Do you like the area? How's the church? How are you liking it as a couple?
We're loving the area. Now, of course, when we moved here, one of the great things about Greensboro is it's right in between the mountains to our west and the ocean to our east, and lots of great parks. And we're big outdoors people, and so lots of great parks to go hiking and biking. Now, of course, at the same time, in the last 18 months, Heather's given birth to two small ones, and yes. So it's made that a little bit difficult to take advantage of all that, but we're really liking the area.
Yeah, I love Greensboro. Just the whole atmosphere of it, the natural parts to it, everywhere you drive even is just beautiful. And now that Johnny's getting to be about 6 months old, and I'm starting to look forward to like being able to put him in packs and on the back of bikes and things like that, I'm really starting to get excited again afresh over being here, where we can really get out and do some stuff.
As far as the church goes, we're really liking the church. After the accident with my dad, this was the church that my parents were going to, and they sought us and comforted us during this time, and it really felt like we had an instant family there. And so we've been attending there now for a little less than a year.
Right. We weren't attending at the time of the accident, but we were in between two churches geographically. And it was just, it felt so much like family. They came out to our house and they brought food to us and just called just to make sure everything was okay. And even months later would call and check in and say, we're still praying for you. We're still thinking about you.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we were hoping we would get, because of our situation in Savannah and Monsignor helping us, me to come back home to the Catholic Church and for Heather's conversion. We had a family there. He knew our two children at the time. And as we were leaving, he knew us by name. And it felt like a small little family.
Right.
And we were missing that up here. And it took a tragedy. But we felt like we found a family here as well.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Oh, beautiful. Well, you've come back to podcasting and returning to your old name. yeah. Tell us how that's going and what are you doing on your shows?
Well, yeah, about a year ago, we stopped doing Catholic Family Journal. And that was mainly because we went through the conversion process and my reversion process, and we felt there wasn't really much more of a story to tell, and we didn't really have a direction to go.
Mm-hmm.
about 8 months later, I believe. we just love the podcasting community, and we just love that family. And whether we produce a good podcast or not, we just like feeling part of that community.
Right.
And so we were just called to come back. And we started doing this Just a Bunch of Hacks, kind of doing a clever name. I look at it as maybe our podcasting midlife crisis. We kind of had to sweep up the name a little bit and add some up-to-date music. And, we did that for 10 episodes. And during that time, we're sitting here, we're entering into Advent.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids are making the sign of the cross at the dinner table, and we're praying together as a family. Kids are asking us questions, and Heather and I looked at each other and said, this journey, it's still continuing, and it's now our kids. There's so much more to tell.
Yeah, it was like suddenly we realized we're just at the beginning of this journey. That wasn't the end. That's just the very beginning of it.
Yeah, so we decided to do to bring back Catholic Family Journal, because that's really what it is. It's just our journal of week to week on what we're going through. And there's some struggles from week to week, and we'll be honest about that as we go through it. And one of the neat things that we have is a Studying the Word segment. And it's kind of a discipline for Heather and I to look at the upcoming scriptures on Sunday and really have to read them and study them
mm-hmm.
before Mass and learn about them, because we're going to discuss them as to how they apply to family life.
Right.
And that's one of the segments we have. And it's been interesting taking the scripture, reading it, and trying to get that information out as to how we can apply this to our family.
Right. And one of the secrets of that is that's more for us than for you guys. It's more for us to keep us on track than to us thinking that we're going to, relay some wisdom to you, because I don't know that we have that much wisdom on it. But it does keep us in the Word. And for me, where I sometimes get to hear the readings and sometimes don't, it at least gets me to read and reflect on the scripture readings beforehand. So for us, that's great.
I really like the new format a lot.
Okay.
And I have to tell you that, and I want to tell anybody listening who's got a young family, small children, that I absolutely loved the podcast in Advent where you talked about Advent and how prepared you were for Advent this year, and how much Madeline and Jacob, your two oldest, got into it, even as young as they are, how they really got into it. I just loved it. It was beautiful.
They did. That was exciting for me, because that's the first time that we've really set out to have a disciplined nightly spiritual activity together, and they loved it, absolutely loved it. Madeline was crying after Christmas, because she was crying when we went to bed, because she said, we didn't do Advent. It is definitely something that we're looking now at what we're going to do starting up with Lent and begin something again. So
yeah, we have a few activities in store for them, so I think that'll be fun.
And I know from pictures I have seen off and on over the last few years that Heather makes a home look so beautiful at Christmas.
Yes, yes. I remember when your old home was for sale and there were pictures. I can't remember how I found that or what was going on, but we saw inside your old home. Gosh, it was so lovely. You're really talented.
Thank you. I can give some of the credit to John too, because we kind of do things together and have an eye out, but it's a lot of fun decorating a house. That's been one of the fun things about moving here too, is that it was my first chance at having a new home that was ours to start with, that I picked out. And so that has been a lot of fun. And Christmas was a lot of fun, because we had to get some new decorations. Our other ones didn't work real well in the house. So that was a nice fun, quite guilty pleasure of being able to redecorate for Christmas.
And you're also a tech weenie.
Oh, a little bit. I used to do computer work for the courts before I had Jacob. And so I was just getting into some web design and programming and things like that right before I quit. So that's kind of been fun with the web page that we put out for Catholic Family Journal this time, that John and I kind of collaborated on it. And it was fun getting my hands back into it.
Well, there you go. And you've actually done some work for us, which we thank you for, and we may have to turn back to you again at some time in the future.
John, what are you doing to provide for your family?
Well, one of the reasons why we wound up here in North Carolina was because of a job change. That it's an opportunity that just came up, and there's a whole story behind how God just had his hand on this, because we look back and it's just miraculous how everything worked out. But I work in the aerospace industry, and without saying the name, it's actually, you're probably more familiar about this company that makes these airplanes that I work for. As far as the car manufacturer, they make generators, lawnmowers, motorcycles, and now they're making airplanes, and pretty cool ones at that. So pretty exciting to be able to work there day to day on a startup company like this, and just work on what I always loved, and that's flying airplanes.
Wow. Wow. Exciting. Gosh, we could just keep going on and on. We know that we're taking time away from your quiet time, or before the next feeding, I guess.
It's much later there where they are.
Yeah, yeah. Give us the web address in case people want to look you up.
Sure. You could look us up at CatholicFamilyJournal.com.
Pretty simple. All right.
Yeah.
And I believe you're on Facebook.
We are. You can do a search on Facebook, and we have a Facebook page on there as well. And you can also check out our podcast on iTunes.
Well, you two have the, I'm going to say, the personality and the truth and the compass that seems to pull a lot of people your direction. We were a small part of a large group of people that really came to care for you and liked knowing you and being warmer than just once every 6 months Facebook friends. So thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins and sharing some more of your journey and story with us.
I just wanted to say that I have been a longtime listener of the Catholic Family. I'm sure you know about that one.
Yes.
The Sweeney mm-hmm. family. And so I put you right on par with them.
I get
a warm fuzzy every time I listen to both podcasts and see the way that you're all raising your children in the faith.
Yeah, it gives us a little glimpse of what it's going to be like when our kids get a little bit older.
That's
so
right.
We're looking forward to that.
They will never talk back. They will never slam doors. They will never.
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Well, bless you both, John and Heather Hack. Thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins. It's been a real joy. And we say this, but we really mean it. Dee and I will keep you in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
We will too. Thanks a lot. We really enjoyed it. It's been our pleasure.
Greetings, Dee and Deacon Tom, and all the listeners of Catholic Vitamins. This is Marianna Bartholomew, here with my fourth missionary moment. This week, with the Catholic vitamin being F, I decided not to focus on a particular geographical region in America, but to talk about the family, the church family, and in particular, our bishops. They've been a lot in the news this week, and they've been speaking so strongly about the right of every American to follow his or her conscience. And as I've read in the news, all the different powerful statements that these bishops have released, it's just brought back a lot of memories about the bishops that I've been able to meet through my work. The missionary bishops would come to Chicago and meet, and they would spend time together talking about their various needs. And then through the magazine, Extension Magazine, we would talk about those needs to try to raise funds for the different dioceses. I remember one time, just to give the bishops a little recreation, some of the staff took a big group of them out onto a boat, I think it was the Spirit of Chicago, onto Lake Michigan. And it was funny because there I was with my new husband sitting there at a table with at least a dozen bishops. Across from us sat Bishop Michael Joseph Kanyecki. At the time, he was bishop in Fairbanks, Alaska. He was a bush pilot. And to get to the most remote areas, little parishes scattered far and wide in Alaska, he would fly himself. And he would have to have a gun with him because he said the bear situation was tense sometimes, and he had some pretty exciting stories to tell about landing in difficult weather. And he actually died in 2000 while he was visiting a little remote Eskimo village called Aminac. I was very young, just in my early 20s, when I first started writing for Extension Magazine. And I remember one of my very first contacts with a bishop. I actually was interviewing a bishop on the telephone and got stage fright. And I remember him so kindly saying, "Well, how about if I just talk for a few minutes? And then if you think of a question, you can ask me." When I later traveled through Rapid City, South Dakota, and surrounding Indian missions, I dropped in to visit Archbishop Charles Chaput. Actually, at the time, he was Bishop of Rapid City, and now he's serving as Archbishop in Philadelphia. He's a member of the Prairie Band Potawatomi tribe and America's first Native American Archbishop. He was very welcoming, but seemed quiet and scholarly. And in later years, as I've kept up with reading his various speeches and writings, I've been so struck with how he is a powerful speaker of truth. For years, I worked with Father Edward Slattery, who is now Bishop of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I really credit Bishop Slattery for helping me better understand the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. He wrote his own columns for Extension Magazine, and we would proofread his columns just to make sure that there were no typos. And he just always made sure that in our own writings for the magazine that we emphasized properly the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. He traveled about quite a bit to the various missions to see what their needs were, and I just saw him as having such a heart for those missions. And today he's serving in a mission diocese. When he was elevated to bishop, a large group of staff and family went with him to Rome, and I was actually pregnant with my firstborn and able to go to Rome and have a private audience with Bishop Slattery and the group of Extension people and the Pope, so it was really inspiring. It was 1994, so it was our blessed Pope, John Paul II. The last little contact I'd like to talk about is when I was a new mother and asked to go interview Cardinal Joseph Bernardin of Chicago, who at the time had just had his cancer return. I felt like such an unlikely choice at the time. A new mother just wants to nest with her little one, and I was being asked to go into a very sensitive situation. I remember feeling that I really needed to say yes, and so my husband drove my baby and I to the Cardinal's residence and parked, and I nursed my baby and then went in and chatted with the Cardinal. I asked him whether he felt fearful as death approached, and he said his job was to run toward the arms of God, not away. So I'm grateful for our church family. I'm grateful for our bishops, archbishops, and cardinals, and of course for our Holy Father, who prays for us all and is Father to us all. So that's it for this missionary moment. God bless you, and God bless Catholic Vitamins.
Well, I just love Mariana Bartholomew's contributions to Catholic Vitamins. The missionary moments idea is wonderful, and this demonstration of her contacts and knowledge and depth of the work that she's done in the mission fields, telling us about our shepherds, our bishops, and the times that she's met many of them. I received another email from Mariana. She said, St. John Cantius, a parish in Chicago, gave us permission to use Videntes Stellam by A. Gabrielli as performed by their St. Cecilia Choir, conducted by Daniel Robinson. My family went to this church for 5 years, and our children sang in their choirs. This particular piece is so ethereal and prayerful, it seemed a perfect choice for accompanying a spot about mission bishops. These men are called princes of the church, and they've received the finest education and had the weight of the world on their shoulders, and sometimes public condemnation as they stand for life and the faith. We know that's going on right now. She went on with some other words, and she closed with some words about remote mission dioceses. And it sort of reminded me that some time ago in our formation class was a deacon, Deacon Dan, who was coming from the far western part of Wyoming to be in our formation in Denver. At that time, they didn't have a formation class for deacons in Wyoming. And so we got to know Deacon Dan and his wife, Kathleen, at that time, and we really cared for them a lot. Well, we also went up to the cathedral in Cheyenne for some liturgies and eventually for the ordination of Dan when he became a deacon. And I came to know Bishop David Ricken, who was the bishop in Cheyenne at that time. There's a wonderful story about Bishop Ricken that I want to share with you about bishops who cover large territories. He was the bishop for all of Wyoming. The whole entire state was his domain, his responsibility. And I remember that Dan one time got stuck in a snowstorm coming back from formation. I think Kathleen was not with him when this happened. And he got as far as Cheyenne and he couldn't go any further because Interstate 70 going west was closed. And Dan, if I remember this story correctly, called the bishop. And the bishop and he got together and they spent the evening together and became close friends. Dan stayed overnight and then helped at a liturgy the next morning. And there was another story, too, about where Dan, then candidate Dan, and the bishop went to a movie together. I think they went to see The Passion of the Christ, and then they went out to have ice cream together. How wonderful to have a close relationship with our shepherds, for sure. Mariana, thank you for your missionary moments, and we will be back.
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh. Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? When shall I arise? This is the question that is in the background of every human heart. Yes, new evangelist, it's even in your human heart. We ask often, is not life a drudgery? You know, going about proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, is not always fun. It doesn't always give you a charge, does it? And we do ask that question, when shall I arise? When shall I have that final coming of the Lord? Well, the Lord has come to heal the brokenhearted, but new evangelist, he has come to heal your broken heart. We cannot preach the gospel in season and out of season without the healing touch of our Lord. Thank God that he has sent that into the world. He has sent his Son into the world to heal our broken hearts. And he does so personally through the priesthood. Through holy orders, Jesus works through the hands of the priests to heal us, to touch us in the sacraments, through reconciliation, through the anointing of the sick. This is how the Lord rebuilds Jerusalem, and he wants to rebuild the Jerusalem of our lives. He binds our wounds. He sustains the lowly. But folks, if we do not recognize that we ourselves need to be the lowly, then how will he work through us? For if we think it's all about what we're doing, then that's what people will get, what we're doing. We don't want that. What we want is for people to receive what Jesus is doing. He has imposed upon us the new evangelization. He wants us to discharge it freely. See, because we freely have received it, we can become slaves to all. And this is only possible when we bow down and become low, like the Blessed Virgin Mary, who received the Holy Spirit so fully that the incarnation came in and through her, and she discharged him freely. She's submissive to the gospel, so ought we be, in order to share it. See, the whole town gathered at the door when Jesus was driving out demons and healing people, and this is what he said his purpose was. But first he went off into a deserted place, and in the deserted place he gazed upon the Father. And the Father gazes upon him. A new evangelist, we need to engage in that gaze. Everyone is looking for Jesus. Everyone is looking for him. And we are too. We are looking for him because he shows us, he teaches us how to gaze into the Father's eyes. so that we can go out to the nearby villages, as Jesus commanded his apostles, and tell them about Jesus' purpose, to drive out demons, to heal the brokenhearted. Praised be Jesus Christ.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Thank you once again, Justin Stroh, for another This New Evangelization podcast segment. We love your contributions on Catholic Vitamins, and it seems like you have evolved into helping us to look at the readings for the weekend. So thank you for that and for your reflections on them. Well, dear, we've run a little bit long. I think we're going to not do three of the songs from Born Again with Brian Flynn. I'm going to close with something in keeping with our theme of family for this show. I've got a song from his album, Brian Flynn's album, called The Prodigal Father. So after we do our normal close, we will play the complete version of that song. It's lovely. And we will come back to more Brian Flynn music in future shows.
All right. Can we do Vita Scrabble?
We can.
Here we go. I'm holding it up.
All right. If you're a new listener, Dee has a wicker.
It's a wicker.
Wicker basket. It has in it the entries from people who have taken a guess at the next Catholic Vitamins show, Vitamin, what the vitamin is. This one was family.
Yeah. We only put the correct guesses in the basket.
Correct. And so if you will shake it up, I'll pull a name.
I'm shaking.
And I've got Greg Gorman from Kentucky.
Hey, Greg. You haven't pulled his name in a while.
All right. Well, we're glad for that. And since we now have explained how it works, you can call us at 206-350-3789. Or you can email us and you can say, the email address is catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And you can say, I think the next vitamin is vitamin G.
Right. And that vitamin G stands for, that's what you could say.
Yes.
So next Vita Scrabble is vitamin G, ends in Y, 9 letters.
Vitamin G, 9 letters. We're sure glad that you put your thinking caps on and try to guess these words. All right, Bite a Minute.
If we're ready to close, I'm going to close out with a Bite a Minute from my favorite little Madonna House daily calendar. As you grow in love, you help each other gently, peacefully, constantly accepting the weaknesses of each other with deep love and great patience, for that is how the Lord has treated you. Your goal is to become a family, a community of love, accepting all the pain, the problems, the difficulties that every family must go through if it is going to become a community of love. And that was published in her book, Postinia.
Well, thank you for that.
In Catherine Doherty's book, Postinia, is what I meant to say.
All right. It's also in the calendar, which you can buy from Madonna House Publications. We have two dogs. One is driving us crazy with licking her paw, and the other one is walking on papers underneath the desk. I have no idea what is going on, why he's doing that.
I think it's time to close.
I think it is, too. Well, if you are watching or have watched the Super Bowl by the time you listen to this podcast, you are also gifted with the absolute super gift of the family of the Catholic Church, and we are so pleased to be a part of it and sharing in this form of new evangelization, new media evangelization. We're a part of SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network. We hope you'll consider contributing to them. They support a number of podcasts and bloggers and activities in new media evangelization, and once a year they have a get-together. This coming summer's get-together is,
I think it's the end of August.
Is it?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, that's
all right. We need to look that up so we can announce it next time.
All right, well, or you can go to sqpn.com and the information is there.
It's going to be in Dallas-Fort Worth area, I think.
Wonderful. We get to see the Sweeneys. Yay! All right, dear friends, thank you for listening to Catholic Vitamins.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.
You left home a long time ago, but there's something I want you to know. Love of a father will always remain, no matter where you go. There isn't a thing you could do to prevent me from loving you. You could squander my money, my jewels, and my land. Still I'd provide for you. I stare out and look to the east, awaiting the glorious feast that I will prepare on the day you return, the day that my sorrow will cease. I've waited day after day, hoping you'd come home to stay, wondering if you're already on your way. I fall to my knees and pray. To the house of your father, I am watching the road, and I'm praying that you will return, for I am missing you so. There's so much I am wanting to tell you, so much I have to give. Out into the night, wondering if you are alright, if you're fed and clothed and taken care, or if you're scared and full of fright. Perhaps you think what you've done makes you unworthy to be my son. Father, I've been watching the road. much I've been wanting to tell you, so much I have to give.